We thank God for our men's chorus. We thank God for Dr. Leroy Davis and the men for coming out to sing for us today. Just before the scripture lesson, let me say again that we are planning to rerun the musicale because when we ran it the first time, as you know, there was a lot of static. You couldn't really hear the music and hear the presentation from Brother Moshe. And so next Sunday, the fourth Sunday for worship, we will rerun the musicale for that day. So please prepare for it so that you can join us and really enjoy the musical presentation that our groups presented on the fourth Sunday in October. Our scripture lesson is Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 from the New International Version. Please listen to the text. And the text says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the word of our God. I've entitled this message, On Finding the Peace. I've heard older folks say, "I just want some peace and quiet." And we've all heard the expression, disturbing the peace. When chaos ensues in the neighborhood or in the home, we say someone is disturbing the peace. There's noise all around us. There's noise on the outside. In downtown Round Rock, where I live, there is an older couple that lives in a home in downtown. And it's probably a 100-year-old house. They have a big lot there on the corner. And I've seen the old couple in the yard, the old man with his lawnmower cutting the grass, and the old lady with her hose watering her flowers. But recently I've noticed that a condo development is being built right next door to this house, that they have these huge jackhammers digging into the ground and clearing out the space where the condo building is going to be erected. And you can hear the noise. You can see all of the debris right next door to this 100-year-old house where this older couple lives. And I'm sure that the work is making life miserable for them, not only for their enjoyment during the day because the workers are there all day, but also their thoughts about how safe their house will continue to be because of the trembling of the ground. And then, you know, so sometimes there's noise outside. My next door neighbor has decided to have his lawn crew come to trim his hedges and cut the grass at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday mornings. And so when you think you might sleep in, outside your bedroom window, you hear the noise of a lawnmower and a hedge trimmer. The first time I heard it going on, I got up and went outside and said to the lawn people, "What in the world are you doing? Don't you know people sleep in on Saturdays?" So there's noise. There's noise outside. And then there's the noise on the inside. You're working from home. There's food and refrigerator noise. There's the toilet flushing. There are kids playing, kids running, kids sometimes fighting. Something falls, something breaks. The phone rings, the TV is going, and the music is playing. And in my house, it's CNN or MSNBC all day long. You go into your room and close the door, but you cannot escape the noise. There's noise outside, around us. There's noise on the inside in our homes. And then there is that internal noise. For introverts, internal quiet is critical. We need internal peace to recharge our batteries. But there's this noise in our head, in our heart. You try to shut it off, but the noise is still there. And sometimes the noise keeps you up at night and you cannot sleep. You're worried about what's going to happen the next day. There are voices in your head telling you you're going to fail. You're worried about failure all the time. There are voices picking at you, telling you that you're not going to be what you think you're going to be. There are voices saying you're going to be uncovered. Folk are going to find out. So there are voices on the inside, in our heads, in our hearts, keeping us up at night, voices of worry. And amidst all of the noise outside, the noise inside, the internal noise, we need something to quiet the spirit and to quiet the heart. We need something to put our minds at ease. And our text in Philippians contains Paul's final reminders to a church facing chaos and disturbances. It's interesting what Paul says in this book, because Paul is writing from prison. If there's anybody who needs what Paul suggests, it's Paul. But Paul provides some good talk for these Philippian believers. He provides some clear objectives. He provides some reassurance. This, you remember, is the book where we get all of those special nuggets from Paul, where he talks about let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He talks about Jesus humbling himself and being obedient unto death. This is the book in which Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is the book in which Paul says, I have counted all things but loss that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is this powerful book where Paul says, stand firm side by side with one mind for the sake of the gospel. But in order to handle the noise, amidst all of the good things that Paul says in Philippians, in order to maintain the right heart and mind, Paul tells the Philippians that they have to remain anchored in the Lord. He says, you've got to remain anchored. That's the theme throughout the whole book. No matter what's happening around you, no matter what's going on, no matter how much noise, you've got to be firmly rooted in the Lord. And Paul tells the Philippians, he says, you've got to pray. If you want to get through some of this, you got to pray, because prayer is a remedy for anxiety. Prayer provides the capacity to block out the noise of life. And then he says, not only must you pray, but you got to be thankful. He says you should be grateful for your relationship with God. The Philippians should be grateful for what God is doing in their lives, because gratitude is also a remedy for anxiety. A grateful heart helps block out the noise of life. And then he says, and above all, you've got to get your minds right. In Philippians 4:8, Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says, keep your minds focused on the things you've learned, the things you've received, the things you've seen and heard from me. Paul says, get your minds together. So if you want to deal with the noise and the pressure of life, you got to pray, you got to be thankful, you've got to get your mind right. And then Paul talks about the peace of God. And he says so powerfully, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is this peace of God. It is not the absence of conflict or the absence of noise. There will always be conflict. There will always be noise. Whenever you take a stand for something, there's always somebody who's going to take a different stance. So you have to know that. There's always going to be noise. That's not what peace is, the absence of that. The peace or the shalom of God is total well-being, which engulfs the heart and the mind. The peace of God is the attitude and spirit of Christ, which fills and transforms the heart and mind. It's when you are engulfed or embraced or surrounded by God's presence. It's when you are filled with the Spirit and transformed by the Spirit of Christ. Spirit transforming your heart and mind. That's the peace of God. The peace of God is the calm assurance of God's presence and God's guidance in one's life. The peace of God is exemplified by the grandmother who sits in a makeshift house set upon blocks during a violent storm. And as the little house trembles with every gust of wind, as the windows rattle, the grandmother sits in her rocking chair singing. And what is she singing? She is singing, "Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder thee." The grandmother knows that the storm is raging on the outside. She knows that her house is threatened, but the peace of God gives her the assurance as she sits in that rocking chair that all is well. When you have God's peace on the inside and surrounding you, no matter what else is going on, you have the assurance to say all is well. Paul says that this peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. And I like that. It's strange to combine peace and guard in the same movement. But Paul thinks of God's peace as a sentry or a guard at his post. You know about a color guard and how they post the flags. But we have, Paul says, a peace guard. So this sentry is on active duty. So that the peace of God isn't just a feeling, it is the active and alert protection of God amidst the noise of our lives. In other words, the peace of God keeps our hearts and minds in a way that frees us from anxiety and worry. So that when noise starts creeping in, when anxiety and worry begin to creep up, there is a guard in front of our minds. There is a guard in front of our hearts blocking anxiety and blocking worry and keeping them from setting up residence. This peace of God becomes a veritable barrier for the soul. Isn't that something, beloved? We've got a barrier in front of us. A barrier for our souls that keeps noise, conflicts, and troubles from taking charge of our spirit. That's what trouble wants to do anyway. Trouble wants to take charge. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to take charge. That's why it keeps you up during the night worrying about failure, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow when you cannot sleep. The devil is trying to take charge. And Paul says the peace of God guards our hearts and minds. I like that because it says to me that we really don't have to search for peace. We really don't have to find peace as my title suggests. Peace is provided by God. It's not something we have to look for. God provides peace. One day I was on a flight headed to Chicago. And as the plane was making its descent, the flight attendants were walking through the aisle collecting trash. And all of a sudden, we started experiencing some turbulence. And the plane started shaking violently. The flight attendants didn't act alarmed. They each crouched down in the aisle and remained crouched until the turbulence ended. And when it was over, they got up and continued walking the aisles as if nothing had happened. And I learned a lesson that day. I said to myself, the flight attendants know about turbulence. They know it will occur. They have had training about what to do in turbulence. They know what to do. They also know that turbulence is temporary. So they don't get alarmed when the plane begins to shake. They've experienced shaking before. And the flight attendants also know that the pilots of the plane know about turbulence. They know how to handle turbulence and how to fly in turbulence. And what am I saying to us? I'm saying when you know that God is guarding your heart and your mind, when you know that God is the pilot of your life, you don't allow the noise and the storm to rattle you, because the peace of God keeps you grounded and helps you to hold on in the storm. You say to somebody, I don't know how long the storm will be, but I know who the storm calmer is. God's peace will guard you. And that's why Paul says, it surpasses all understanding. It goes beyond anything we can grasp. We don't fully grasp or understand everything that God is doing, but God knows how to handle the turbulence in our lives. It may not make sense, but that's all right. God's peace transcends what we understand and what we know. And so, how do we obtain this peace? I'm glad you asked, because Paul says, in Christ Jesus, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I said a moment ago that we don't have to find the peace of God, but we do have to access the peace of God. And how do we do that? We get it through Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you, beloved. You cannot have the peace of God without having peace with God. You've got to have peace with God through Jesus Christ in order to access the peace of God that comes through your relationship. That's why the responsive reading contained both. It talked about Christ being our peace, that he has become our peace, meaning Christ has become the vehicle for resurrection, for reconciliation with God. He gives us peace with God. And when you get the peace with God, you get to experience the peace of God. Our relationship with Christ allows us to receive Christ's heart and Christ's mind. When we are in Christ, we share the heart and mind of Christ. So God guards the heart and the mind of Christ in us. Isn't that something? When we are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Spirit deposits in us the heart and the mind of Christ. So when the peace of God guards our heart and mind, the peace of God is guarding the mind of Christ in us. It's a double guarding. It's guarding us naturally and it's guarding us spiritually. Praise the name of God. That's the crux of peace. If we want peace, we need Christ, because only Christ provides peace. And that's why Paul says to the Philippians, be anchored in the Lord, because it is their connection to the Lord that provides everything the Philippians need. He says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When your life is anchored in the Lord, you place everything in God's hands. You place your troubles, you place your fears, you place your future, and you place your very life in God's hands. And when you do that, you access the peace of God. So if trouble has you up in the middle of the night, don't just lay there and wrestle with the trouble. Get down on your knees and turn the troubles over to God and let God's peace take over and let God's peace give you the strength to go back to sleep. This week, our noonday Bible study group discussed at the beginning of our lesson the president's reaction to the election. We talked about possible scenarios, whether the president will leave office, whether the president will stage some sort of coup, to a military coup to stand off. We saw the MAGA, million MAGA march in Washington just yesterday. We don't know what he has in mind. But our conclusion was, just as Reverend Spear said in his sermon the other Sunday, our conclusion was God is in control. And whatever happens, the future and the people of God are in God's hands. We can have peace amidst the noise and the conflict in Washington because we look not to Washington, but we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We trust in God because we know God ultimately is in charge. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, beloved, we're never going to get rid of the noise of life. We're never going to be completely free from conflict. It's always there. When we wake up in the morning, it's there. When we go to bed at night, it's there. When we turn our phones on, someone has sent a text message or an email and noise is there. Sometimes we have to just remind ourselves that noise happens. Trouble happens. Sometimes, beloved, we worry too much. Sometimes we waste too much time thinking about what might happen. Matthew McConaughey recently said, I've had thousands of crises in my life. Most of them never happened. Some of those crises were in his head. Some of those crises were imagined. We worry too much thinking about what might happen. And what we have to do is to trust in Jesus. What we really need isn't peace and quiet. What we really need is an anchor for the soul. We need something to guard our hearts and minds while we run this race. And that something is a person. And his name is Jesus. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He gives us the assurance that everything will be all right. He is the peace of God. And that's why he says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you, I give I you. But my peace I leave with you. In 1871, a successful businessman and lawyer lost all his material possessions in the Great Chicago Fire. And this did not trouble Horatio Spafford very much, for he had set his affections on things above. However, 2 years later, after he lost everything in the fire, when his wife and children were on board a boat en route to France, their ship was rammed by an English vessel and sank, claiming the lives of 226 people. And although Spafford's wife survived, all four of his children perished in the icy waters. This man had lost everything, all his possessions, and now he's lost all his children. And when he was given the tragic news and later shown the spot in the mid-Atlantic where the shipwreck occurred, although he was heart sick with grief, Mr. Spafford suddenly felt an inrush of supernatural peace and comfort as he looked to the Lord for strength. And with tears streaming down his face, He picked up his pen to record his feelings. And what came from that pen were these words. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God bless you, beloved, and may God's grace keep you. We thank you for joining us today and worshiping with us today. We pray that you will know who Jesus is and know the peace of God so that you can experience God's peace in your own life. Just before the benediction, let me again say that next Sunday, the fourth Sunday, we will rerun our musicale worship experience. I want to thank Deacon Oliver Street for providing the audio and the Reverend Torrance Spears for the technical expertise to blend the audio, the video, so we wouldn't have that static. And so we want you to be able to enjoy it without the static. So look forward to that next week. Will you join me in prayer? Eternal God, we thank you for another Lord's Day and for the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for reminding us of the peace of God. And thank you for helping us to understand that there is noise all around us. There's that noise outside. There's noise in our homes. There's noise in us internal, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. And sometimes we need relief from that noise. The outside, the external noise, and the internal noise. And we thank you for your word reminding us through your servant Paul of the peace of God. This peace of God is not just a feeling. It is a calm shalom, the calm assurance of God that God is with us. We thank you for reminding us that God's peace is like a guard, a sentry in front of our hearts and our minds, standing as a barrier to protect us from intrusions, from trouble and conflict. How do we obtain this peace? We obtain it through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we have peace with God, we can access the peace of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that peace that passes all understanding. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.